On day two of climate talks in Durban, we look outside the ICC Centre and took focus on Durban Exhibition Centre, DEC. The exhibit centre serves as a platform for observer organisations to highlight diverse climate change issues at COP17 CMP7. One of the exhibits we visited was African Pavilion, where different countries from Africa are showcasing their different strategies in reducing carbon emissions. The Senior Program Manager of Southern African Development Council of Non-Governmental Organization, SADC NCGO, Bobili Bet Machabua, says African leaders need to take a decisive action and lead by example. He was speaking at the African Bull Summit at the Pavilion. He said African governments also have responsibility through their own national budget to assume commitment on climate change. He added that it is time for countries to think globally and act locally. Machabua said that change will take place if only there is real political will that will manifest itself in the execution, process, leadership function and resources. He said these components will make difference in Africa. He concluded by saying people must not expect COP17 to produce miracles overnight.
The processes and the procedures, and I hear issues around stakeholder participation, they are located in this whole discourse around what are the interventions? Who is going to be involved? What are the procedures? What are the concrete mechanisms, you know, on the ground that our member states will be engaged in? Number three is the issue of leadership. We are not only looking forward to the West and to the East, but we are also expecting leaders of African governments to take decisive actions and lead by example to the majority of the populace. And the last component is the issue of resources. Everything is moved by money, is moved by resources, whether you want to call them human, financial, or technical. But we believe change will only take place if there is a real political will that manifests itself in the institutions and the processes and the leadership function and the resources component. And I think these are the four key issues that will make a difference for Africa. What can civil society possibly do at a practical level? Majority of the constituents we represent have not been able to make it here. We know there are also our colleagues who are at the KwaZulu-Natal University. So one role is raising awareness on the outcomes of this process, whether negative or positive. Secondly, and I want to emphasize this point, we have seen lots of researches going around, particularly from the international organizations, is our ability as civil society to continuously generate information, knowledge, and analysis feeding into discussions on adaptation and financing. And we must not stop doing that. Number three, and I have to emphasize this point, civil society is increasingly corporatizing itself, increasingly becoming highly professionalized to the point of not being effective. And I run the risk of not knowing whom I'm talking to, but I have to say this thing. We have to achieve a correct balance between indoor and outdoor activities, because we're not going to achieve this struggle using one strategy. We require a multiplicity of strategies. And to that extent, as civil society, we will unapologetically continue to mobilize our constituencies, continue to speak out on issues of concern, and we encourage you to do the same in your countries. Budget tracking and influencing. I was speaking in Botswana recently on the COP17 post agenda, and I said to them very clearly, in as much as we know developed countries have a responsibility, in as much as I believe in ecological debt, in as much as I believe in all these things you believe in, African governments also have a responsibility through our own national budgets. And we have a responsibility of tracking budgeting processes in our countries and seeing the commitment by our member states to issues of climate change. And I think we do not want them to run away with it and say, no, we are going to wait for the Green Fund and then it ends there. We must also mobilize domestic resources and civil society has a role in that regard. And I want to emphasize another role, and we usually call it in our organization, protocol tracking, treaty strategy tracking. Civil society has a responsibility of monitoring the different commitments made by our member states, starting at the sub-regional level. And I have to say this, I always wonder when people want to report about the UN process, with all due respect, madam, But SADC has a protocol on forestry. SADC has a protocol on shared water courses. What are the mechanisms to ensure the monitoring and evaluation of the protocols at the regional, continental, and international levels? And civil society has a role to play in that regard. So we can also think globally, but we have to act locally. Not every country has a comprehensive national climate change framework. Within the Southern Africa, if I had time, I would have just given you out of the 15, told you who has done what and who has not done what. So civil society has a responsibility of influencing national processes in order to inform our own responses. We are not going to expect a COP17 to produce miracles in Village B. It is the member state that should develop a comprehensive framework that is situated in the political economy of the country, of the region, and the continent. And to that extent, we are able to make progress.
We also spoke to Professor Goodwill Namo from University of South Africa, Program Manager, Exaro Chair in Business and Climate Change. He spoke to us of how climate change is going to affect Africa, adoption and green economy.
I am here at COP because we are launching one of the three books that we have done in collaboration with the Africa Institute of South Africa, as well as the Institute for Global Dialogue, both in Pretoria. Our book is entitled Green Economy and Climate Mitigation, Topics of Relevance to Africa. What you need to understand in terms of climate change and Africa is mainly centered around the effects, negative effects, as well as there are positive effects, but we try to emphasize more on the negative effects so that we can have some mitigation and adaptation measures around that. The continent basically is going to be impacted in terms of extreme weather events. We are likely to be, as we are witnessing now in most parts of the continent, we are likely to be having extreme flooding. We can also likely to experience droughts. We are also likely to experience aspects such as like extreme frost and snow that we've experienced in South Africa. Then generally, the agricultural sector, which is actually our economic backbone for African countries, is going to be affected. We talk about water resources, we talk about the livestock sector, we talk about the fisheries sector. They are going to be impacted by the changing climate. Yes, when you're talking about adaptation, we are saying how do we live with the changing climate, or how do we change our ways with the changing climate? Hence, when you're talking about the rural areas, these are communities that are actually right there in the grassroots, and some of the communities are less resourced. And if the communities are less resourced, it means when this climate change impacts come their way, they actually are at a disadvantaged position. Let us give an example. If there is a flood, you are talking about a community maybe that will wake up and everything that they have has been swept in the flood, and they might not be having social safety nets. And if the governments are not quick to mobilize, or the NGOs are not quick to mobilize resources to address the negative impacts, then we can actually end up having communities that are very, very vulnerable. We can at times even result in deaths. It can also at times even result in migration, people moving to other areas. So in a nutshell, what we are saying is like there is need for us as governments to have mechanisms, especially at grassroots and at local government level, that can assist communities to address climate change issues. And if disaster strikes, we need to have efficient mechanisms whereby government, the NGOs, and the communities themselves, they can regroup and address some of the challenges in terms of food, in terms of shelter, in terms of movement, in terms of health. And as diseases, they're likely to also impact on the communities after, say, a flood, or even after periods of extended hunger and famine. Then we need basically safety nets to be put in place, especially revamping our disaster management systems, and also in terms of early warning systems in terms of such events. Thank you.
And finally, Wesley Versal speak to Tepang Adasa about Lesotho Goes Green.
Okay, first, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Tsepang Hatase. I am from Lesotho. I'm 100% Mosotho man.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so firstly, tell me, what exactly is Lesotho Goes Green?
Well, Lesotho Goes Green is we are trying to build a campaign around the climate change issues and take advantage of COP to tell people about Lesotho and its initiatives towards its efforts on the climate change issues. So we've named it Lesotho Goes Green to show that we are committed as the nation in the efforts of efforts around climate change.
Are people in Lesotho aware of COP17?
People in Lesotho are much aware of the COP17 because we as the nation, we had formed a committee which was preparing the delegation of Lesotho to the COP17, and we've gone to the media, the print media and electronic media, telling people about delegation and our stand as a country and educating people of issues around climate change, its effects and impacts.
So what are your expected outcomes of COP17?
Our expected outcomes, I'll be frank with this, it's on technical issues around the climate change issues concerning the Kyoto Protocol, to be specific, that we would like to see the negotiations pushing to a decision on the future of the Kyoto Protocol. We would like the developed countries, as they had committed themselves in the agreement, to implement it. So I think that is what we would wish for.
And how does climate change affect people in Lesotho?
Well, climate change affects everybody. As we know that, they pose rising temperatures leading to differences in seasonalities, so it directly affects agriculture. Like in Lesotho, we know that at spring we should start plowing our fields, but now we have to wait and there are no rains, and when the rains come, they are no longer called rains, they are floods now. So it affects very poorly on the issue of food security, so basically, and health as well.
Do you think that climate change affects Africans more than it does the rest of the planet?
No, I think everybody is exposed to the same dangers, except that some countries lie very low on altitude, and so they are more exposed to other disasters like tsunamis. But there are other effects that are caused by climate change, which we are all equally exposed, like depletion of the ozone layer, which causes global warming. Thank you.
So what renewable energy projects are based in Lesotho?
We have quite a number of renewable projects. We do solar, we have hydro projects, and they are spread all across the country. And that is why we say Lesotho going green. It is because 75% of our energy is clean energy, and we are aiming to be to have 100% renewable energy in Lesotho.
So as an African country, do you think that it is possible to have 100% renewable energy?
Renewable energy, perfectly so, yes. We can have 100% because we have wind, water and solar.
Thank you very much.
You're so much welcome, sir.
That is all from Durban Exhibition Center. For Bush Radio, I am Xolo Mfumfu.